I want to thank everybody for tuning in again to Bridging the Gap on WSKV 104.9 FM. My name is Corey Graham. I'm Information Director for Powell County. When the show began, the initial purpose was to bring local government and things of that nature to the public. And Judge, one of the times early on when we were discussing how this show was going to work, one of the interests you had was to bring fiscal court meetings to people who, for whether it's work obligations or any other thing that may hamper them from making it to the meeting, they're unable to make it to a meeting. And so what we're going to do today is Judge Anderson and I are going to give you a little bit of a recap about the Powell County Fiscal Court meeting that took place earlier this month. And Judge, can you start off by telling us when and where and all the how to attend a fiscal court meeting?
Sure. Naturally, they're open to the public, and our regular meetings are held every month, the second Tuesday of the month at 6 o'clock, held there in the judge's office. We have a small conference room, and every one of those meetings, we have a public comment section, so anybody that has a concern, question, is welcome to come, and myself and the court are more than happy to entertain those. That's who we serve, and we want to hear from them. And like you said, really, we're very aware that with people's busy schedules, there's no way that it's practical for the majority of our people, even if they want to attend, to be able to attend these meetings. So if this is another way that we can give them a little bit of a idea of what's going on at those meetings and make them a little bit more aware of what's going on in their community, then we're more than happy to do this every month.
Well, now, reflecting back on this last meeting, we'll try to go through point by point things that took place, and let's see if we can kind of shed some light on what went on. I know Craig Linden, he's from District 10, came to speak about doing some work on our local roads. Can you kind of elaborate on what Craig brought to the meeting?
I can. Craig Linden is from District 10, and he's with the Rural and Secondary Roads Program. And some of y'all may not be familiar, but that's basically one of the categories of state roads we have here in Powell County. And we have a little over 60 miles of those roads in Powell County. And we've heard a lot of talk in the last few years about motor fuels tax and those kind of things. And this is a primary example of letting people say, you know, when they go to the pump and fill up and that portion of the money's taken out, here's one of the ways that they come back to us at the local level. And two ways here through this program. One would be the state takes that and they maintain these rural secondary roads. And like in this year's allotment, Powell County will be getting $858,890. That'll go for maintenance and resurfacing of the rural secondary roads here in Powell County. And just an example of some of the resurfacing they'll do this year, they're going to resurface Lofty Heights, Cane Creek, South Fork, and North Bend, and then Snow Creek and Verdon. I said paved, but that'll be portions of those roads. And then also in that same pot of money, of that, there's $103,956 that is a portion they call flex money. And what that does, that's part of the money that we will use to resurface some county roads. And it's kind of at the discretion of myself and the court what roads and needs are, and we can use that to help facilitate getting our county roads improved.
Well, the great thing sounds like about that is both between the state roads and the county roads, it does sound like it's spread out fairly well throughout the county, not just one community benefits. And it's good to see that, you know, particularly in a county like ours where resources are needed all over the place.
One thing I commend the state on, they actually have a current program where they come out and drive the roads based on certain criteria. They actually score those roads. So they definitely have a priority-driven model, and that's something we've really worked toward. And probably though we don't have the full model, I know that's one of the things I want to work toward if I'm fortunate to stay here, is actually developing our own model. We do it even though it's somewhat not on paper, but really we always try to get the roads that are in the worst condition, but we actually need to develop our own scoring matrix to kind of quantify what the worst road is. And that's something we're actually in the works on right now.
And, you know, which is great because that's not just not just aesthetics, that's, you know, from a public safety standpoint as well. But speaking of public safety, I want to segue into a resolution the court read regarding a Homeland Security grant. Can you tell us a little bit about the grant and what its intent is?
I can. We had become aware of two things, I guess, in this regard. One was, first and foremost, a grant that facilitates buying personal safety equipment for law enforcement. And of the grant, and then of what, then also of the need of some of our law enforcement to have this equipment. So it kind of brought me to asking the court, and basically what this grant that we had become aware of is, it's a 100% reimbursable grant from Homeland Security that provides for, like when I mentioned, personal safety equipment. This is things such as the vest that our law enforcement wear, and body cameras, tasers, this things of this nature. So in order to apply for this grant, one of the things I have to have as county judge is a resolution which authorizes me to sign the paper and make the expenditures for this grant in order to obtain this equipment for law enforcement.
Well, and in a time like this, when we hear so much about officer safety, it's such a, you know, a dinner table conversation even now, more than it's been that I can remember in my lifetime. It's great to see the fiscal court reaching out to officers and trying to, at no expense to the taxpayer, provide safety equipment to enable them to better do their job and to do it more safely.
You hit on a good point. I don't think in the course of our history as the United States, there's been a time that our law enforcement faces more danger than currently with some of the trends. So naturally, if we have the opportunity to provide better equipment for them, more safe equipment, then we want to be a part of that. And basically with this resolution, so long as the entity that we're trying to help is willing to take this, then we can put those officers in a vest and body cameras, and like I said, be 100% reimbursable. So if they're willing, then we're more than happy to do so.
Well, that's fantastic. I know also we had a visit from Soil Conservation Board to the fiscal court meeting, and they, you know, that's one of the boards that they offer extremely valuable service to the community, but where it's a little more specialized, not everyone in the community is as familiar with them. Can you kind of give us some insight onto what it is they brought to the meeting?
Yeah, our Powell County Soil Conservation came to the board, and they had two representatives, Tim Snowden and Gary Napier, that came. And our soil conservation, unlike some of the others in other counties, some of those are set up in a taxing district. Our soil conservation is not currently set up in that structure, so naturally they have to get revenue from other sources. One, and that their the fiscal court is one of their sources of revenue every year. For as long as I can remember, that there was a contribution made to them to facilitate what they do for the community. So this meeting, they came to give us a little update on where they was at for this fiscal year, what they needed to finish up, and what to expect their quest to be this coming year. And so we worked through those things, as well as they give us a little bit of update on some of the grants that they brought into the community. And one of the things we partner with them the last 2 years on is we get a waste tar grant. They do. Naturally, we have the facilities and the employees through the transfer station. So they've partnered with us, let us be the host of that, as we're more able to accept the tires and things. So they brought the check for that grant, as well as they informed us of a new purchase they had made. I think that will be beneficial to a lot of the farmers in the community, and that they'd through a grant, purchased a line buggy this year. So they made the court aware of that. And I'd like to thank that board and those members for serving and what they do for the community.
Well, and the recycling program itself has been such a benefit to the community. I know personally, I make use of it. I know several people who do make use of it. I've even had some people come up to me and ask, you know, follow-up questions about where's the recycling truck right now, and, you know, best way to get their stuff down there. So it's a wonderful thing to see in the community, and I hope even more of our citizens will keep taking advantage of it, and even more than they are now.
Yeah, Corey, and that kind of leads us into that. Actually, our recycling program was one of the agenda items this meeting, and I think every year since I've been in office, other than maybe one, the Division of Solid Waste has a grant program that facilitates some of the trailers you see. So most anything you see in relation to the recycling program in Powell County has all been acquired through grant money. So we've been able to provide a good service, give the county another source of revenue to help offset some of the others. And this is all through grant money and not what we're having to use general fund or our local taxpayer dollars to accomplish. This past year, we were awarded, I think it was somewhere around $86,000 once again, to purchase some recycling equipment. And in my time here, one of the things that I've seen be a problem at our transfer station is there's a discrepancy in what people bring in. I kind of used the analogy there in the meeting the other night. If you and I were both to go to the recycling or transfer station and you brought a bag of a 30-pound garbage bag in full of feathers, and I brought the same bag, same size bag in full of bricks, we're both getting charged the same price. So in an effort to be more fair to our customers, and it really gets to be an issue when you have people bring loose items such as a truckload of material or a trailer load, far as depending on what the composition, you know, it's kind of right now, unfortunately, it's kind of at the discretion of whichever one of our employees working there, what they think the weight or value of that is. So one of the things we'd applied for in this last grant cycle was actually a drive on scale so we can actually get an accurate measure of that and try to be more fair to our customers. And we take the judgment out of it then. So basically what we had done is Tim Snowden also is our recycling coordinator now, and he had brought a proposal on the scales that we were going to receive this grant. So we voted to accept that bid, and it's for just right over $36,000 contingent on that state certified. Then that we're going to go ahead and get that scale. And like I said, it was through last year's grant program.
Well, that's great. And, you know, a lot of people may not realize how much you can actually save yourself when you utilize the recycling program. I know personally, I went from 5 or 6 bags of trash a week until I started sorting out my recycling and hauling that off to maybe 2 sometimes. And when you're paying per bag at the transfer station, that can make a big difference.
That's exactly right. And I've been fortunate since I was there. Kenny Case was formerly in that role and done a super job. And really, the program you see today is very much a result of his effort. So I was very fortunate to have him there. But while he was there, we done randomly several times, we would do a little bit of a studies, and it looked like on an average that typically about 60% of household garbage could actually be recycled. We've done that several times and come up with, like I said, 55 to 65 with about an average of 60%. What that means, I mean, it actually could be beneficial to both the citizen and to the county, because if we're removing that 60% of your garbage, that's 60% of the weight of that we don't have to dispose of. At the same time, that same 60% is going back into recyclables, which gives us a source of revenue. So, you know, one of my goals with all of our departments is to try to get them to self-sustainability. And with our transfer station recycling program, that's something we've really made a lot of strides in. And I think in the future that will be one of those that, you know, we don't have to make general fund contributions into, that it could at some point actually be self-sustainable. So as we develop our recycling is a big key in trying to get to that goal.
Well, and speaking of the transfer station, you know, formerly before they moved into the new building, that's where the animal shelter was housed. And I know there was some news regarding the animal shelter. Could you go into a little bit of that?
Yeah, that was another item we had on this agenda. And kind of like you alluded to, there was another instance where grant money, it had been acquired right before I got here. I had the privilege of getting to finish the completion of it. But once the animal shelter moved to its own separate location, give us a lot more room to expand our recycling program. So that's been a plus in trying to grow it, as well as give our animal shelter a better and more sanitary location. So this time, actually, we'd had a group approach us in regards to the felines that we have to euthanize. And currently, unfortunately, when that has to happen, they just have to be disposed of. And in trying to always do something that's better for our citizens, this group, and actually they have a use, they take and place these euthanized animals with vet schools and people that do research. So even if it comes to that end, there's a useful benefit for that carcass beyond that. So we've agreed that we think that's a good program, and we're going to utilize that in trying to assist them.
Good. And turning a negative into a positive, nobody wants to see that happen. Obviously, we would love to see every animal get adopted, but that's just not the case. And, you know, to be able to use them for something positive is great.
That is.
Judge, it was actually a pretty busy meeting. How about we cut right now, and we'll come back tomorrow and let everybody catch up on the – we'll continue this discussion tomorrow. And if you want to tune back in, we'll give you the other half of the developments at the fiscal court meeting. Some talk about tourism and a visit from our state representative, David Hale, among things that we'll discuss when we can dedicate more time to it.
Thank you.
Thank you all. And we'll same time tomorrow.